Ministry is open. I can assure you I'm ready for the event as well. So if you want to be baptized, then that's an opportunity for you. And the third thing that we're going to be focusing on is being involved more in the church, church membership, and what that looks like as well. I just wanted to start by talking about when you became a Christian. One of the things that we often know is we know very clearly when we became, as an example, Australian citizens. I know when I became Australian citizen, it was the 10th of the 10th, 1963. It was my birthday. On the day I was born, I became an Australian citizen. But for many migrants who come to Australia, that's not the case, is it? They know that there's a time when they arrive in Australia. But when they arrive in Australia, as much as they're here, they're not Australian citizens. A day comes when they have to make a decision to fill out all the paperwork, but then they are endorsed and they are accepted as members, they are accepted as Australian citizens. And I hope what I'm about to say doesn't upset anyone in the room, but I still think it needs to be said. I always personally struggle with the whole idea that people will often say, I don't know that I actually really ever became a Christian. I just grew into Christianity. I always was. Or, you know, I've been a part of the church all my life. None of those references make us a Christian. There has to be a moment. Has to be a moment when we recognise we are a sinner. And before Jesus Christ, we simply say, I recognise I am a sinner and I need to accept you as my Saviour. I need to accept the price you have paid on the cross and make you Lord of my life. Many people will not even recognise that they've ever taken that step and yet would like to claim that they are Christian. In your bulletins today, I'd like you to just look there. You'll see that there is in the bulletin there's room to do it. And if you've got the extended piece of paper, you have an opportunity there. It talks about that moment I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Saviour. We don't have to know the date, by the way, but we do need to know that we have done that. I would like you to take a few moments today, and I think there's enough pens around, and if not, we'll try and make sure that everyone gets a pen. Can I encourage you to just fill out, it doesn't have to be an essay, that moment when you became a Christian, when you confessed your sins and made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. And can I add one more thing there? If that's something that you say, well, actually, I'm not sure I ever have, can you make this moment that moment? Can this be that moment when you say, I am a sinner and I need you as my Lord and Saviour? How about we fill out that form? Like I say, it doesn't need to be an essay, but for us to know that there was a moment when Jesus became our Lord and our Saviour. I'll give you a few minutes to fill that out. Once again, let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for all that you have done. I want to thank you personally for myself and the salvation that is mine because of what you did, Jesus. And I thank you for that. I want to thank you for what you have done for others in this room and the way in which you have brought salvation to them. Father, once again, I pray that if there is someone who has struggled to fill out that form today, if there is someone who has struggled to have ever made that decision, I pray that you will bring them to that point. That they will pray, recognising that they have fallen short of your mark, that they are sinners, and that it is only one way to salvation, and that is through accepting the forgiveness that Jesus Christ offers. That's why he died on the cross. So I pray, Father, that no one will leave this room today without knowing that truth and having accepted it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I hope that puts a joy on you and a smile on your face to know that you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Saviour, and you can live in the fullness of all that that is. We've got lots happening in the church in the next little while. And it's
the second part of this morning.
The second part of this morning is we're going to be looking at baptism. And I know that many people here have been through the waters of baptism. It's one of those things that, for me, is just this really clear instruction of the Word of God. For me, there's not even a question mark in my mind that Jesus himself recognized that to show his commitment to his Father, he went through the waters of baptism. And in many ways, I guess it always feels a little bit like a little bit of an embarrassing moment, particularly if you didn't come prepared. But is it too much of a sacrifice to make, really, compared to what Jesus has done for us? I think that's always the beauty of baptism. It's just this moment where, to the world, it looks like a bit of a silly moment. And maybe even for us, we might even think, you know, look, it's not even something I need to do for salvation. And that's absolutely true. It doesn't make us more saved. But if one of the instructions that was left, it's not like Jesus left us a long list. It's not like there's 50 things on this list that we have to tick off. But if one of the things on that list, and really only a list of two or three things, is to be a disciple and go through the waters of baptism, why wouldn't we do that? Why wouldn't we do that? We know the church was commissioned to make disciples, and the next part of that was baptizing them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so we're dedicated to that. And that's why we make sure that the baptistry is opened from time to time to give people an opportunity to do that. Is that a decision you'd like to do today? Can I say, if that's something that you want to do today, there's two components to it. I'd ask you to come forward to start with and to share your testimony. Tell us your story of how you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. We do that because it is a confession of faith. The second component is to take off anything that's not waterproof and to go through the waters of baptism. It's not that complicated when it's put down to that. Once again, can I encourage us as a congregation to bow our heads? And if you are feeling today is your day when you would like to be baptized, following the commitment that you have made to your Saviour, then I'd ask you to just come and sit in the front row. And then after you've sat in the front row, then I'll ask you to share your testimony. But everyone's heads are bowed, everyone's eyes are closed. So if you'd like to take that step, that opportunity is available to you right now. Father, we thank you that we are a part of a fellowship that understands the importance of being faithful to you. I know, Father, that many, many people in this room have a wonderful story to tell about the moment they receive Jesus. They have a wonderful story to tell in that moment when they were baptized. There are a number of people here who have been baptized in the very water, in the very baptistry that we have open today. And I know that that was a special moment for them. There are others who went down to the lake. There were others who were baptized in other centers. But we all have a story to tell. And Father, it's never disappointing. It's a privilege to be faithful to your leading. And as we've already done today, Father, once again, if there is someone here today who's just struggling to make that decision and feels as though today is not the day, but they want next Sunday to be the day or some other day to be it, then would you just keep prompting them in their spirit and don't leave them alone? Father, would you just keep pestering them until they just go, I give up, Lord. I just want to follow you and do what you ask. And that's what we ask, Father, that they will faithfully follow through. And once again, Father, it is our privilege to be able to pray these words, not in our own strength, but through the power of Jesus Christ and all that he has done. Amen. And amen.
The Bible reading today is taken from Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. That's Galatians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And I'm reading from the middle of your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Galatians chapter 2, 1 to 10. Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem, this time with Barnabas. I took Titus along also. I went in response to a revelation, and meeting privately with those esteemed as leaders, I presented to them the gospel that I preach among the Gentiles. I wanted to be sure I was not running and had not been running my race in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was Greek. This matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves. We did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. As for those who were held in high esteem, whatever they were makes no difference to me. God does not show favoritism. They added nothing to my message. On the contrary, they recognized that I had been entrusted with the task of preaching the gospel to the uncircumcised, just as Peter had been to the circumcised. For God, who was at work in Peter as an apostle to the circumcised, was also at work in me as an apostle to the Gentiles. James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship when they recognized the grace given to me. They agreed that we should go to the Gentiles and they to be circumcised. All they asked was that we should continue to remember the poor, the very thing I had been eager to do all along. Amen.
I hope everyone here knows that this is God's church. It's actually not my church and it's not the deacon's church. It's God's church first and foremost. And I think most people here have kind of accepted that this is also the church that God's called us to be a part of. You agree with that? This is a good place to be. And it's exciting to be a part of it. And I think one of the things is I'm really excited that there are some people who are devoted to it and committed to it. Like, it's really exciting to know that the air conditioning is on, particularly on the really cold days, and that somebody's been committed enough to pay the electricity bill to make sure it's able to be on. Requirement of that is members need to do those sort of things. There are decisions that have to be made in a church, and that's part of what membership is all about. So there is a very practical part to membership. This place doesn't exist without members. And so on a very practical term, one of the things that I just want to highlight is is why do we sometimes think that somebody else should be the person who has to do that? Why do we think that somebody else should be the committed person? Someone else should be the dedicated and trustworthy person to become a member. But it's all right for me. I can just stay back and just stand at a distance and just watch. Because I don't know whether you know this, but churches have a habit of doing terrible things sometimes. So therefore, I'll just stand back and I won't be a member because I don't want to be a part of a problem that's in a church. But membership matters because it's as we come together in fellowship. There's a passage, I'm not sure that the word member is used in this passage, but it is the passage that I believe most strongly talks about why we should become members. And it's from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verses 42 through to 47. The words are simply this. They devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You see, there was a group of people who simply declared, "We're in this together. We're absolutely in this together. We're in it together with our brothers and sisters. And if someone else has a need, we will find a way to meet that need. We'll do it together. We'll have fellowship together. We will be bound together under a common cause." I don't want anyone to feel as though the common cause is just the church that we get bound together. But the membership allows us as a whole to be the church that God wants us to be. Over the next little while, we're going to have to be making some big decisions as a church. Our Christian school, Brightwaters Christian School, needs to make decisions about its future and where it's going to reside. We're talking high financial decisions, very significant decisions for the development of the school. And we need members. We need members to help us in making those decisions. Would you give consideration to being a member if you're not a member also, just to help us to do those things, devoted together so we can make those right decisions? Those decisions will impact us as a church. If we go back to verse 41, just before the passage we read, we see that those who accepted this message were baptized, which we've talked about today, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I think if we work together in membership and committed as members, then I think we will really see the blessing of God on this place, and we will see this place grow. If you're not a member of the church now, then all we ask is that a member needs to be someone who is a committed Christian. We do ask that they are baptized believers. And if you meet that criteria, and if you've decided and you know that this is where God's called you to serve the church, then can I encourage you to be devoted as other members are devoted of this church and to become a member? If you would like to talk through that, then I would love to talk to you about that. I'd love to talk to you what that looks like, why it's important, and the impact on the church. I don't know about you, but I think it's a little unfair that there are some people who carry a load and others that don't feel as though they quite need to. I think membership is a journey together. The early Christian church devoted themselves to each other, and they devoted themselves to God. And that's what God's calling of us to do as a church as well. Let's sing again. Thanks.
Well, if you haven't felt challenged already, you're going to be challenged again. It's good. 3-pronged attack this morning. We're going to be looking at, as in your bulletin, the passage in Galatians there, and continuing on through Galatians as we are over the next little while, a few months I think it's going to take us, and we're looking at Galatians chapter 2 as Janet read before. And I'm going to kind of keep it pretty short and sweet this morning because there's only a couple main points I want to make, and I just want to make sure that we hear them well. I want to make sure that we are understanding exactly what this passage is about. And I don't know for you, but in my Bible, that passage, Galatians 2 verses 1 to 10, it's called, in my Bible, it says that Paul is being getting acceptance from the apostles. And the first thing that struck me when I saw that my name was next to that preaching schedule and the title of it was meant to be Knowing Your Calling, and here's Paul going in being accepted by a bunch of apostles, and it's been 14 plus years since his dramatic conversion to Christianity. And I've never really struck Paul as a person who would go and seek out someone else's approval if he knows what God wants him to do. So I found that title very interesting, but it's actually all about a response that he's making from God. This idea of Paul needing to be accepted by these apostles, I don't believe was Paul's idea at all. In the very beginning of this passage, in verse 2, it says, "I went in response to a revelation." That's it. He was listening to God. He was obviously in communication with God, and he was making a response to the revelation. We've asked you all morning this morning to be making a response, and honestly, I believe that God asks us every day that we wake up to be making a response to whatever it is that he is calling us to be doing. Paul is making a response to a revelation. He wasn't probably too worried about going and talking to the apostles unless God had asked him to go and speak to them first. So he heads out to Jerusalem to make a response to this revelation, this word that he's gotten from God, that he needs to go and meet with these apostles before he goes and speaks to the Galatian Christians, the Gentile Christians there, and address what's been going on there. So from the very beginning, we need to understand that this is not Paul just feeling like he wants to go and talk to the apostles. This is Paul answering a call. He's answering his call from God that he needs to go and speak to the apostles before he goes and sees these Gentile Christians. So he heads off on this response to this revelation, and this passage is all about Paul sharing his calling to meet with the Gentiles and to preach the truth of the gospel and to meet with the apostles and what he calls the pillars of the church, James, Cephas, and John. So he's going because of this revelation. And what's interesting is that after he's spoken with the apostles and he moves on from there, in verses 3 to 4, tell us why he has to go and speak to the Gentiles. It says that, "Yet not even Titus, who was with me, was compelled to be circumcised, even though he was a Greek. This matter arose because of some false believers had infiltrated our ranks to spy on the freedom we have in Christ Jesus and to make us slaves." The first time I read that, there was something very important that I didn't pick up on. I got distracted by that whole idea of, oh, here we go again, there's another argument over circumcision and non-circumcision, and what's the truth of if you're a Christian or not, and then, you know, what you should be doing, and blah, blah, blah. Distracted straight away. And what I missed was something in verse 4 that is critical, and it's critical to listening to our calling, it's critical to when we're trying to understand what God wants us to do, it's critical in a lot of things. And that is that the Galatian Christians were listening to the wrong people. It says in verse 4 that this matter arose. The only reason this matter came up, circumcision and uncircumcision actually came up, this matter arose because some false believers had infiltrated our ranks. So this scenario wasn't, I get the idea, it wasn't an original problem for the Gentile Christians. I don't think maybe at the start they were really too worried about whether or not they were being circumcised or uncircumcised or whatever. It only came up because a bunch of false brothers and sisters, I don't know how many or exactly who they were, had come into the church proclaiming that they were Christians, proclaiming that they knew the truth of what needed to happen, and therefore putting this confusion and this disruption within the church. And perhaps the Gentiles weren't quite mature enough yet in their faith to understand who they're meant to be listening to and what they're meant to be holding as the most important thing in their life. And so they were listening to these false brothers about what they were meant to be doing in their life. And so Paul and Titus and Barnabas are coming in to try and clear all that up. The Galatians weren't initially fighting over this idea of circumcision and uncircumcision. It was outsiders coming in. And the first point I want to make is when we're looking at the idea of listening to God and knowing your calling, you must be really careful who you're listening to. Really careful who you're taking advice from, even from people within the church. If Tim comes up to me, Pastor Tim comes up to me and says, "Mitch, I think you need to start a netball team and you need to play center and you need to do this and this and this up at the community center. There's a bunch of netball and that's going to bring heaps of people to Christ." And I listened to that and took it on board. I dare say it might not end well. But if I cross-reference that with God, then I can figure out what is the truth and whether or not I need to be listening to that advice or not. We must be careful. I'm going to talk about that a bit more later, but we must be careful who we're listening to when it comes to our faith in Christ, our journey with Christ, and how we're meant to be following God and following the calling that He puts in front of us. We must be careful to that. There is one simple trick I'll mention now, and I'll talk about it again a bit later, to know whether or not the person who is talking to you is worth listening to. And that is, you can take it on board, and I've done this with many a people, and apologize if I've done it to you. But you take it on board, you listen to it, you cross-reference it with God, and then I always go back to that person at a later time, and I ask them about their faith. I ask them about their story, their life. How did they become to know Christ? And if they can't tell me how even they know Christ, then I get a decent idea of whether or not I need to be listening to that person or not. We must be careful about false believers infiltrating our ranks and whether or not we listen to them. Paul, Barnabas, and Titus need to get rid of this distraction. They need to get rid of this argument that is happening within the church. They need to get rid of this distraction so that they can fulfill their calling and they can preach the truth of the gospel, so that these, what we believe are fairly new Christians, can understand what is meant to be most important in their life, that they're meant to have Christ above all else, that they need to spend time listening to the Holy Spirit, that they need to be reading the Word so they can understand what it is that they're meant to be doing, and so they cannot be distracted, and then they cannot be thrown off from whatever Christ is calling them to be doing. Paul needs to make sure that they know Jesus is above all else, and that loving Him is the most important thing that they need to be doing right now. They don't need to get caught up in these distractions and debates, just like we don't need to get caught up in certain things. We need to make sure we're just putting Christ first above everything else. If you are someone who is not sure what your calling is, or maybe you're in the middle of that, or whatever your scenario might be, wherever you are in your journey right now, if you're putting Christ above all else, then you don't need to be too worried. But if it's a bunch of other things and then, "Oh, quick Jesus, what do you want me to be doing with my life?" you might find you don't get or don't hear a lot of direction. Christ always needs to be coming first so that you can commit to that calling and follow that calling. You might find that you're in the middle of running a ministry or trying to fulfill your calling, and maybe, like these Christians, you've been a bit distracted. And so it's become a bit hazy about what your next step is meant to be, what's meant to be happening next. That's that moment where you need to stop and go, "Okay, where are my priorities? Am I spending enough time listening to the Holy Spirit? Am I putting Christ first? When's the last time I've knelt before Him in prayer and really, really been diligent and devoted to wanting to follow Him?" Anything that we try and do, we know this because we talk about it all the time, anything we try and do in our own steam and by ourselves inevitably falls flat, or certainly doesn't have the impact that God would want it to have. it must come from Christ, and we must be following him, putting him first in all those scenarios. Paul and his friends Barnabas and Titus, they talk about how in verse 5, they did not give even a second of influence from these false brothers. It says, we did not give in to them for a moment so that the truth of the gospel might be preserved for you. They were not mucking around. They knew they were there to fulfill a task. They knew they had a calling on their life, and they weren't about to let anything get in the road of that. They weren't about to let any little foothold get in on their lives and distract them from what they were meant to be doing. I'm not sure they would have even taken the time to address the issue of circumcision and uncircumcision. I get the picture that Paul probably came in and said, stop talking about that, you need to know this. Forget that, that's finished, you need to know this. Focus on this. Not even for a moment did they let them distract them from their calling. Paul and his friends came there to follow Christ. They made a response to the revelation that they were given. Nothing was getting in their road. And he goes and meets with those apostles. He goes and speaks to the Gentiles. And it tells us from verses 6 to 7 that even after meeting with them and talking with them, he actually wasn't worried about anything they were saying. Says that they did not add anything to his message. I read that and I kind of think, oh, gee, that's a bit harsh to say about a bunch of apostles who are probably just trying to do the right thing and be nice and everything else, just trying to make sure that they're doing the right thing. Paul was not worried about what they had to say at all. He knew that he had to go and speak to them because that's what he was being led to do by Christ. He was being led to go and speak to them. But that was it. He was being led to go to speak to them, then he was going to go proclaim the message. So he did exactly as God was asking him to do. Didn't get caught up in what they had to say to him. We don't know exactly what they had to say to him, except that they agreed with what he was doing. And so he continued on to visit the Gentiles and to preach the truth. And my point is this about him going and speaking to the apostles, and it backs up what I was talking about before, being careful to listen to the right people. Many times when you're trying to follow the Holy Spirit and you're trying to do as you believe you're being directed to do by God, you'll have many people who want to talk to you about that. And that's not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. It's actually, for me, I kind of like it because it means I know I'm along the right track. No one's going to talk to me if I'm not doing something for God. My life's pretty boring if I'm not doing something for God. No offense to my wife or kids or anything else. But honestly, if I'm doing things for God, it sparks people's interest. They want to ask questions. They want to know why I'm doing things. If I'm just going through day-to-day life, working, mowing the lawn, putting kids to sleep, changing nappies, that's not all that exciting. No one really wants to talk about those sorts of things. Listening to the right person and the struggle that can be when you're trying to follow your calling is very, very important. I want to share a quick story. When we were out at Curry Curry and I was about 22 or 23 and living out there with Tim's son Nick, and we had a great little church that we were helping, and we were running youth there and doing scripture and all these things. And we started to go to a pub called The Chelly. The Chelly was a great little place, and the publican there was probably about 10 or so years, maybe 20 years, older than us. And we'd gone there for lunch a couple of times when we were trying to woo our girls into thinking that we were half-decent fellas and they should date us. And we'd go there for dinner every now and again. And the reason we went there was because the publican was very, very open man. He talked about all sorts of things with us. We got to know his family, we got to know his kids. Never experienced that going into a pub before. And we started to share that this, in the church, that this might be a place where we need to do some sort of ministry. Don't know exactly what's happening with it, but this gentleman seems to be open to talking about the gospel, and we're just not sure exactly where it's leading, and so we might be doing something out there. And a lot of people, being that we're only about 23 or so, came up to us and were very worried. And not that they were speaking negatively about it, but they were just worried. You know, you're a bunch of young guys going into a pub trying to help someone become a Christian. They were concerned. Concerned for our own well-being, and then perhaps concerned about the stigma of being in a pub and things like that. I know my nan taught me never to ever set foot in a pub, so I'm sure there was a little bit of that in there as well. And we eventually started what we called Beer and Bible. And on, I think it was a Wednesday night, they would let us use the barbecue. We made sure a couple of drinks were brought, non-alcoholic drinks, across the bar. And we would run a Bible study out in the little outdoor area, and it was just open. And anyone could come in if they want to. The pub even let us put signs up on a couple of their doors inside the pub there that was running. And it was fantastic. And I think for a lot of people, it just sounded like a bit of a funny little cool thing that a bunch of young guys are doing. But in reality, Nick and I had spent a lot of time talking about that. And we had to spend a lot of time praying about that. Because we knew if this was something we were about to do, that we need to be able to explain to the church, well, we're just trying to follow Christ's calling. We're just trying to follow what it is he's laid out before us. And it might be uncomfortable for you, and it might be difficult for you, but it is what Christ is calling us to do. I think when Paul's coming to speak to the Gentiles about circumcision and uncircumcision, well, he wasn't going there to talk to them about that, but that was certainly an issue that came up. I think for some people it would be very uncomfortable to talk about those sorts of things. Paul wasn't too worried about that. He knew what his calling was, and he was just following God. Nick and I had lots of conversations with people in Curry Church and outside of Curry Church as well, because the word got around that we're doing a Bible study in a pub. And the word got out there, and lots of people talked to us about it. And as much as it was fun for Nick and I to go and do that, and we got to meet a lot of people through that, it was still a very serious time. We were there to follow Christ. When we were sitting down in that pub looking at the Bible, we weren't mucking around. We were sitting there talking to people about the truth of the gospel. When we're listening to people who are expressing their concern about whatever it is that God's asking you to do, we do need to listen to them. And it's difficult sometimes, because sometimes you're listening to somebody who you really hold in a very high manner, and you almost have to ignore what they're saying. Almost. You're not going to be completely rude about it. You're listening, but you need to understand that it all has to match up with what God's calling on your life is. It has to match up with what God's calling on your life is. There's been lots of times that's happened in ministry, and I wish I had the time to talk about the rest of them. But even I remember early on when I came here, I had a lot of people talking to me about what I was wearing to church, and they expressed concern. It was never a negative thing. It's not like people were asking me to come in a three-piece suit with a tie and everything like that. They were not asking that, but they were just a little concerned that what I was wearing was maybe a bit distracting or what have you. Never meant to offend anybody in any of that. I was just simply dressing to be comfortable. When you're standing out the front here and you're stressed and nervous, you want to be a little bit comfortable with what you're wearing. And I was never trying to upset anybody with that. I'm just always trying to follow whatever it is that Christ would have me do. And being myself, and you being yourself, means that you're open to following Christ's calling. You're trying to be someone else, you're being distracted and you're missing the point there. We need to be following whatever Christ has laid out before us. I do wonder though, once Paul was speaking with the pillars, with James and Cephas and John, I wonder if maybe it was a little bit different for him compared to talking to the apostles. Because James and Cephas and John, they were with Jesus. Paul was afterwards. I do wonder if maybe he held them in a bit more of esteem than he did from the apostles he was talking to previously. It didn't really matter too much. They were happy with what he was doing. So he was continuing on. But we must make sure that no matter who we're listening to, it really matches up with Christ's calling in our life. That idea of focusing on your calling and focusing on the Holy Spirit's leading and not being distracted by external things or people voicing their concern or what have you is probably one of the hardest aspects of actually being a Christian. Because as a Christian, we have that perception that we need to listen to everybody and be super kind and super in tune with what everyone is saying. And sometimes we leap at whatever somebody says. And sometimes we let these external things distract us. I know many of you probably going through daily pain and illnesses that would distract you from thinking that Christ could call you from doing anything. And yet some of the best people I've learnt from were coughing and taking pills right in the middle of our conversations. I know it can be difficult when you have daily and weekly tasks, maybe it's your job, maybe it's just things you need to do in your day and your week that can distract you from following Christ. It was pretty distracting yesterday when I was trying to practice my sermon and my daughter's clutching at my leg wanting cuddles and kisses, and of course I had to stop and give her cuddles and kisses, but then she wanted me to go downstairs and play with the slinky up and down the stairs, and I kept saying, sweetie, I just need 10 minutes to speak with Christ about this. I just need 10 minutes. And she was good and she gave me the 10 minutes and it was all okay. There's definitely moments that can be distracting, even if they're cute and adorable like my daughter. There's definitely moments that can be distracting and difficult, really difficult. It's not an easy thing to follow Christ. It's not an easy thing to accept that we need him. It's not an easy thing to follow his commands, like we're talking about this morning and being baptized. It's not an easy thing to do any of those. There are lots of distractions. Paul was not going to be shaken from his path. He knew God's calling on his life. And it wasn't just because he had one of the most amazing conversion stories I've ever heard of that made him so diligent. He was diligent because he loved Christ. He loved Christ above all else. He never let anything else come first. It was always Christ first. He wasn't shaken. And I hope that this being Recommitment Sunday, that we can be committed to not being shaken from our path towards God. It is the most important thing we'll do on this earth. Paul talks many times about how our life on earth is short, and therefore our time is very important, and it needs to be set towards following Christ every day of our lives. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you that through loving you, we can live the most fulfilled life possible on this earth. Through loving you, we can listen to your calling on our life. We can live a life that honors you. We can live a life that other people get to meet you through us. Lord, we do want to be that vessel for people to come to know you. And we want to be committed, strongly, passionately committed, like Paul was, to following you, putting you above all things, responding to those revelations that we get through you. Lord, I pray that everyone here this morning would be now asking to receive such a calling, to be able to hear it, to be able to be so close to you, it's like talking to somebody face to face. Lord, I pray that each of us this morning would really ask for the Holy Spirit's guidance to know how to live, to love you above all else. Amen.